Here we're going to start the Mishnah in the bottom of Mem Dalet Amud Dalet. Hayah rachuk mi beit haskila arba amot. So he was away from the beit haskila. They're approaching the point of execution. Mafshitin oto et begadav. They strip him down. Ha'ish mechasin oto milafanav. They give him a small loincloth to put in front of him. Vayishah milafanav u'me'acharel. And for the woman, they give her something to cover from the front and the back. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Rabbi Chaim Amar Meim. Ha'ish niskal arum. A man is stoned while he's naked. Ve'en ha'isha niskal daruma. But a woman is not stoned naked, that she remains clothed when she is stoned. So Tana Rabbanan. Ha'ish mechazin oto perek echad milafanav. V'isha shnei prakim ben milafanav ben milachrea. B'nei shukula avad divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So the ish, we give him a loincloth for in front, because that's where the erva is. And Nisha, we give her a loincloth for the front and the back, because her erva could be seen from both sides. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Chamei marim, ha'ish niskal arum, ve'nisha niskal taruma. That only applies to a man, that we stone him while he's naked, but not to a woman. Ma'itamayu derabbanon. Where did the rabbanon get their position from? Why is there a differentiation between a man and a woman? Amakra. Rigmu oto. We saw in the brace on the previous amud, there's oto. Is oto velo biksuto. Right, he stoned him, but not in his clothing. I mean, that him himself, to his physical goof, but not while he's clothed. So, my oto. What are you going to do with this oto? Ilem oto velo ota. If you want to say it means him and not her, v'aktiv. Rabbi Pasuk would say, that they equate, the Torah equates the punishment or the execution of a man and a woman, that they are both subject to the same death penalty. Elamai oto. So you can't say the word oto comes along to say that he gets a death penalty and she doesn't get a death penalty. Because you have an apostle that already says that they both get punished by death. Elamai oto, oto below ksuto, ha uta biksuta. That he is stoned naked without his clothing on. But ota, she is not stoned, right, biksuta, with her clothing, right, off, but rather she remains clothed. Now truthfully, this can't be a real limud, because you're already using the word oto. You're losing the word oto to teach oto velo biksuto. Right? He naked and now with his kuto. So you can't have it also be a limud oto velo ota. So the Gemara is basically merames through this. It sounds like it's an asmacht of sorts that the oto teaches you not only oto velo ksuto, but that it's not ota. But not from a real limud, but from what we're going to see in a second is the problem of hirhur or bizayon. So the other reasons, whatever other reasons, bring us to that conclusion. But he can't say that it's a real limud that of the pasuk, because he already used the word oto to teach you that he is stone naked and not with his clothing on. The Gemara suggested, what are you going to do with the word oto in the male form? Do you want to suggest that oto means he gets killed with the death penalty and she does not? The Gemara says that's an impossible conclusion, because we know that they both get punished. Man and woman are both culpable when they do something wrong. So what are you going to do with oto? So oto means oto velo ksuto. Means that he is naked and not with his clothing on. Right. The Gemara says, but that implies that ota, but her, big suta, that she does have her clothing on.
Is the same implication of ota to be the same as him, without clothing on?
Right, right. I mean, the problem with the limud is that generally, even when things are of the Torah is written in the male form.
Right.
So just because it's in the male form doesn't necessarily exclude the female. And especially when we have that hekesh that says that a man and a woman get the same death penalty. So, like you're suggesting, they should get the same punishment. So, when Gaon comes, they say, no, oto velo ata. Tosfos points out, it can't be a real limud, because we already used the word oto to see that he's naked. But we'll see in a second that the Rambanan have other reasons to suggest why she shouldn't be punished naked. So they're imposing those reasons and making a quasi-limud here. Alright, so now Rabbi Yehuda Omer, oto velo ksuto, lo shnayish, lo shnayisha. I mean, basically what you would expect, that it's oto without his clothing on, and the same will apply, man and women. Man and women are equal when it comes to the punishment. So Gemara says, lememro, from this you see, the Rabbanan chayishe lehirhura. Rabbanan are worried about hirhur. Rabbi Yehuda lo chayish lehirhura, and Rabbi Yehuda is not worried about hirhur. I mean, that Rabbanan are worried about the fact that people are going to see the woman naked and be attracted to her. So therefore they say, no, she must be killed with her clothing on. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, we don't worry about that. Put her to death. We don't worry about the fact that she's naked over there. Vayib chash minanu. And we heard the opposite in their opinions when it comes to a sota. The dnan by sota has to be taken up to the migdash. And then they drag her around and they mevaze her in that process. A kohen ochez bivagadea. going, grabs her clothing. Im nikru, nikru. If they rip, they rip. Im nifru, nifrimu, nifrimu. If they shred, they shred. Until it exposes her heart. The soteret tzara, and he undoes the braids of her hair. So this is what we have due to the sota, in order to embarrass her, to mevazeh her, in order that she shouldn't, she should know that what happened here is not appropriate. Plus, she should admit, if she did something wrong, she should admit it before we erase the shem Hashem. If she's a beautiful woman, we don't rip her clothing to expose her heart or her chest. If she had beautiful hair, we don't unbraid it. So why not? Because, like clear from the Ezra Yehuda's Choshesh for Hero, we don't want a woman who's beautiful, right, to expose her attractiveness to those that are there, to the Kohanim that are there. So Amar Rab, Abayin Atam Hainu Taimo, what's the reason by Sota Shema Teitze Mi Beitin Zaka'a? Means Garu Ba Pirchei Kuna. Problem is that there are two possible outcomes. One possible outcome is that she's killed by the Mea Marim, but the other possibility is that she comes out, right, innocent. That she'd be found to be exonerated by the Beis Din, and now she was exposed to the Pirchei Kuhuna, and they are going to have Hirurim, they're going to have desires for this woman because they saw her exposed. So that's the problem. The problem is that this woman could survive the ordeal. When she could survive the ordeal, then we're worried about Hirur. So, in our case, Hamiktala. There's only one outcome in our case. She's going to be dead. So what are you going to say? You're going to say that seeing her exposed body exposed is going to cause them to have hirurim for other women. I mean that it's going to cause them, it'll drive their yitzah hara for other women. That a person is only drawn after someone that they can see. Meaning that only a woman who is still alive and still available, do when they see her naked, does that draw bring up the desire for such a woman? If you see that woman and she's dead, there's no longer that desire, and that desire will not be transferred to another woman. So in the case where we're going to put her to death, we don't worry about the fact of her, because it's going to be ended by her being put to death. As opposed to the case by the sota, where we're worried about the possibility that she could come out innocent, and therefore she still will be around, and that will cause hirurim. Now we don't worry, we'll see in a second, but we don't worry about is her. We don't worry about the fact that she was nitbazeh. We don't worry about the fact that she's embarrassed, or that something that she was, even though she was found to be innocent or exonerated in the end, we don't worry about the fact that the sota was embarrassed, because the sota is no angel that shows up here. The reason that the sota ends up in court or in Beis Din is because her husband said, don't be miyached with this individual. And she went ahead and was miyached with him. I mean, that she's already a prutza. Even if she had not violated, maybe she didn't have an extramarital affair, she did not sleep with him, but she still did something that was improper. She was prutza. So we don't worry about her embarrassment because it's not so, she wasn't so perfect, and that she does deserve some, retribution or some sort of embarrassment to realize that she shouldn't act like this. But on the other hand, we do worry about the possibility that if she survives, that the Kohanim will chase after her. Once you've seen her naked, and then you continue to see her, then you'll have desires for her. But if you see her naked and then she's dead, then the desire is terminated. That's what the Chachamim say. But now, Tosfos points out that we have the Gemara Megillah says that Rachav Hazona was one of the most beautiful women in the world. And it says, Kol Homer Rachav Rachav. Anybody says Rachav Rachav, Miad Nikri. It would be a Baal Keri right away. So over there, what are you going to say? So then Tosfos answers, it must be Hatam Biyoda Umakira. It's someone who knows her and knows about her. I mean that the desire can only come if you never met her, never saw her, right? Then it wouldn't matter. Over there, we're talking about someone who knows her well, seen her, and then when you say Rachav Rachav, it engenders that feeling or that desire. Without having seen her, without having known her, right, there's no such desire. And that might be some of the poskim believe when it comes to Kol Isha, the Kol Isha only applies to a woman who you recognize or know. I mean, the female singer, you have to know the female singer, what the female singer looks like. Just because it's a female voice doesn't necessarily engender attraction or desire. It has to be a female voice that is associated with the female that you recognize or you see. So some poskim are willing to be mati or to be makil in those instances where it's a female voice, we have no idea. For instance, in a tape recording where you never know the female. But if you know the recording artist, if you know who she is, or you recognize her, then obviously it doesn't matter anymore. But in a case where you've never heard the woman before, you don't know who she is, maybe there's room to be makil. And here, see here, that the idea of desire or for erva to draw a person has to be something that has in the visible range. It has to be something that people see and can envision. So Rabbi says, the Rabbi Yehuda kasho. The Rabbanon, kasho. You only answered up the problem for Rabbi Yehuda. You solved why Rabbi Yehuda says there is no hirhur by the case of Niskelet, but there is hirhur by Sota. But you didn't address the Rabbanon. The Rabbanon says she has to be clothed by Niskelet and not by Sota. How do you explain the Rabbanon's position? That we learned very kashanin. The pasuk says that all the women should take a lekach. They should take a lesson from this sota. That they should not act in a similar fashion to this woman. So, right over here, you don't need any more lessons. The woman's being put to death. So there's nothing to talk about. You want the women to get a lesson. Everybody gets a lesson. She's being put to death. She's not going to walk away from it. On the other hand, right, we have by the case of sota, there's a possibility that she'll walk away. Right, innocent, or possibly she put to death. We want the other women to see that what she did was wrong either way. And that's what we said before, that this sota is not innocent. She did something wrong. She acted as a putza. So we want the other women to realize that this is inappropriate behavior. Whether she ends up being found innocent or guilty, we want them to know this is inappropriate. So we are mevazeh her in such a way that no woman would ever want to go through this again. So the Zemar says, v'chitem lavid batarte. So why not have both? Meaning that why don't we have the fact of both? We can have the fact that she's put to death, plus that she's naked, and both of those will be a lesson. So Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Avu, Amar Kova, Hafto, Dereyacha, Kamocha, Barlo, Mita Yofe. Right, that you should pick the best Mita for her. Meaning that over here we have two options. We have an option that she's going to put to death, and that will solve our problem of Vinivasru. And she'll end up dead. So and then that's one option, but she'll be clothed. The other option is to have her be unclothed, right, be naked, and put her to death. So in that case, you're having two options in front of you. One of them keeps her dignity, and the other one does not keep her dignity. Both of them accomplish the same thing, that she's put to death, and the people get the message that you're not supposed to do this. So Barlo Yimita Yofa means pick the better path. After Reichen Kamocha says pick the better option here. Which is the better option over here? That we don't embarrass her. We don't cause her that busha that she should be naked. But should be naked. So Mar says, well then, let's say Le'emar Rav Nachman wants Nahi. Rav Nachman now sounds like a Machlokas Tanaim. Why? Rabbi Yehuda says, go ahead and embarrass her. And the Chachamim that say, don't go, not allowed to embarrass her. So Rav Nachman says, after Echel Kamocha means Barlo Mitiyofe. When you have a choice between two options, take the path that is the least embarrassing for the individual. So now, if he says that, it seems only to apply to the position of the Chachamim, and not to the position of Rabbi Yehuda. It turns out Rabbi Yehuda Machlokes Tanaim. But he says, lo, no, everybody holds of Rav Nachman, that we don't embarrass her. The Machlokes here is Marzavar, Bizyonei Dinish, Adifalei Tvei Minecha de Gufei. A person would rather maintain their dignity than die in a more expedient manner. Umar Savar, Necha de Gufei Adif, the expedience of the death is worth more to them than the bizyone, than the embarrassment. Meaning that the person who is naked dies faster because the impact of the stoning and the falling will affect them faster. So if you have a choice here, you have a choice here between picking a pathway which will bring them to death the fastest way possible, and the other option which will be, right, that they will not be embarrassed or they will maintain their dignity. So on that basis, which one are you going to pick? That's Machlokes between the Rabbon and Rabbi Yehuda. One of them says the better to pick, right, the option that puts them to death in the most expedient fashion, because that's really about after Reicha Kamocha, to minimize the pain. Even though they'll suffer some indignity, but the minimizing the pain of the death, that's more important. The other says no. The indignity is something they're going to be standing there and feeling right away. A little moment extra of pain, they're willing to suffer in order not to have that indignity. And you have to say, possibly over here, you would say, as Tosas points out of here, Barlo Mitiyofe, Yish Befarshim Mishum Derecha Kamochel Shach Mechayim, Dechayecha Kodmim. Rav Derech HaMukumai will apply only in death, and that's why they use it here to explain Barlo Mati Yofeh. But that's not Rav Derech HaKamocha won't apply in general, because whenever it comes to you and your friend, if you have choice between you and your friend, you'll always pick you over your friend. You give precedence to yourself. So the application of Rav Derech HaKamocha is Barlo Mati Yofeh. It's an interesting interpretation of Rav Derech HaKamocha. All right, now, next Mishnah, as we continue here. Beit HaSkila Gova Shtei Komot. The Beit HaSkila was two stories high. Echad min Eidim Dochafo al Mutnav. That one of the Eidim pushes him, sounds like from here, Dochafo al Mutnav pushes him from behind, although it sounds like we want him to land on his back. So I'm not sure, it doesn't sound, it sounds like they push him with him facing backwards and he lands on his back. We want him to land on his back, so that he should be facing upwards. Nepacha libo, if he falls on his face, Hovcho al Mutnav. You flip him back over. Either here, it's either on his back or on his side that you flip him back over. We don't want him to be facing into the ground. So Rashi points out, it's because Mushikab Prikadin. When he's facing, flat face into the ground, that's a Meguna Biyoter. That's not a, you know, covered a mace in any way. So we don't want him to die and have his face and his whole body facing into the ground, so we turn him over. The word Pirkadan is actually a machlokes between Rashi and Tosafot, what the word Pirkadan means. It shows up two other places in Shas where it's relevant. One of them we did together in Bava Basra. Bava Basra, in the stories of Rabbi Bar Chano, says over there that they found the Meitei Amidbar, right, that they were Shulchvim Pirkadan. That he found the Meitei Amidbar, he found this Arab merchant that took him to the place where the Meitei Amidbar were, and then remember he found the tzitzis, and he cut off the tzitzis to take back, and when he cut off the tzitzis, they wouldn't let him leave the area, so he had to give the tzitzis back before he left. So over there it says that they were Shulchvim Pirkadan. So Tosafot says over there, it proves my point that Pirkadan means face up. Tosafot says the word Pirkadan means face up. Rashi says the word Pirkadan means face down. Although Rashi brings something in both Pirkadan, face up and face down. But Rashi thinks Pirkadan is face down, like he says over here. What's the difference? Why does it matter? It's by Kriyat Shema. That's where the other place it finds out that the Gemara says, you're not allowed to say Kriyat Shema Pirkadan. You're not allowed to say it Pirkadan. So what is Pirkadan? Are you not allowed to say it face down? And laying on your bed face down? Or Pirkadan, according to Tosafot, means you can't do it with your back, meaning face up. You're not allowed to say it. Which is actually what we do in the Kriyat Shema L'mita. If a person's already laying down, we tell them to move over onto their side. To lay on their side, to say Kriyat Shema. You don't say Kriyat Shema laying on your back, flat on your back. You don't say it on your face. We're choshesh for both Tzadim and Pirkadan. We worry about both Rashi and Tosafot. But over here, Rashi L'shitato calls this Pirkadan when he falls flat on his face. Right, if he dies from the fall, then Yotza. Then he's Yotze, we're Yotze. I mean, that's the death penalty. Bimlav, Hasheni Notel, if not, the second eight takes the Evin, Venotno Alibo, and places it on his heart. Vimmeidba, if he dies from this stoning on the heart, Yotze. Bimlav, if not, Rigmatok, B'chol Yisrael, then the rest of everybody who's present stones him. Shneemar, Yada Yedim Tibo, B'yirishon, Alahamito. The Yedim are the first line to kill him, so one of them pushes him off the building, the other one stones him first. And then they follow up. The cleanup crew or the finishing crew here is the rest of Klal Yisrael. So now, Tano, Mekoma Shalo, if you add his height, Harekan, Shalosh Komot, then you have three stories. Two stories of the building, plus he's standing up when they push him off. So now he's three stories high when they push him off, I mean measured from the top of his head or the top of his body. But it says, Umi begin in Kulei High. Why are you putting him up so high? V'reminu, ma bor shu g'day l'hamita sarat fachim. We know from the Gemara Baba Kama that what is a boar that is considered capable of killing an individual? That's a boar that has a depth of 10 tfachim. So 10 tfachim deep is already capable of killing a person. What do you need to get him up three stories high in order to kill him over here? Av kol g'day l'hamita sarat tfachim. So too, anything that's of a height of 10 tfachim, meaning that a boar, b'shut rabim, doesn't have to be a something that is dug out of the Rishut HaRabim, but also could be a pile high of 10 tefachim. But anything that's 10 tefachim high has the ability to kill. So why are we going so far as to put him up 3 komot high? Now here Rashi and Tosfos actually mentioned a machlokas that we also saw in the Gemara and Baba Kama together. Rashi says, Stam Bor, a regular Bor is 10 tefachim. The normal size of Stam Bor is no less than 10 tefachim, is a measurement of 10 tefachim. Tosfos takes, Rabbeinu Tam takes issue with that and says, no, a Stam Bor is much greater than a 10 tefachim. So Rashi seems to say, how do we know from the Torah that the boar that kills is 10 tefachim? Because the stam boar is 10 tefachim high. The Torah says over there, shor velo adam, chamor velo kilim, that in a stam boar, when you write it right below 10 tefachim, you're not chayav. But as soon as you reach 10 tefachim, you are going to be chayav. So it takes issue with that and says that a regular boar is much deeper than 10 tefachim. And that the limud comes out of the, whatever, the Gemara there has a limud of how it gets to 10 tefachim. But that's a limud, but a stambor is much deeper than 10 tefachim, and they both mention their positions. Interestingly enough, they mention it over here, their, each of their respective positions. So Amar Rav Nachman, so then why do we do it so high? Amar Rabba Baravu, Amar Kra, Bahafto, Reacha, Kamocha, Borolo, Mita Yofa, pick the best death. So then Mary says, well, we want to make it more expedient death. So you put him up higher, so that he really, the fall causes him to die immediately. The impact of the fall will cause him to die. Ten tefachim, to safek, we're not sure, it could hurt him, he could be injured. Here we want to make it in such a manner that he's definitely going to die from the fall. Mar says, v'yochi. Well, if you really, if you're talking about you want the best impact, and you want him to die immediately, big bow, take him even higher, put him up 5-6 stories, then you're sure you will die. So Mar says, no, mishum de min avil. That we won't want to do because then his body will, I don't know, be dismembered, it'll be splattered on the ground, it'll be menavel the body. We don't want to do that. We want to do it in such a manner that it balances the interest over here, balances the interest of having an expedient death, but also retaining some sort of covenant mate, that the body's not just going to be right, destroyed by the impact of falling down. So we took, so the Chazal determined that was 3 stories high, was sufficient to create that balance between the two. But you do see here is that v'hafta l'recha kamocha has 2 manifestations in bar lo mita yafeh. One is that you have to pick the most expedient death. The other one is that we want to protect them, as you used it before, is what we want to protect the dignity of the individual. So that's why we had a problem over here with the woman. With the woman, we had a problem because you have v'hafta l'recha kamocha with 2 manifestations. One is don't embarrass them, don't keep their dignity. The other one is get them the fastest death. So which one applies over here? And that's the machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. In the after Reichel Kamocha, which one do we emphasize more? Do we emphasize the dignity side more, or do we emphasize the expedience of death more? Because they're both right manifestations of the limud of after the Reichel Kamocha.
There's also an issue that the Kama is subjective, so nowadays to tall people, the Kama might be taller, because the Kama is...
Right. I was surprised even that that generally when we think of a story today, it's not the height of a person, it's probably 2-3 times the height of a person. Here they're talking about 3 stories, they're talking about the height of a person 3 times. It doesn't sound to be a very significant height. I mean, I would think the height of an individual is only partial of a story. So no, I was surprised by that usage of that, even in this, and even, you know, in this way. Alright. One of the Yidim pushes him off. How do you know that before we stone him, it says, right, that he's put to death by skila. Where do you know that you push him off a building beforehand? So that the Gemara says, we learned that out from Har Sinai. Because as by Har Sinai, the Pasuk says that anybody who comes onto Har Sinai, Yaro Yira, Yira, Sakol Isa Kel. Right, that whoever will be shot through and stoned. Anybody who comes onto Har Sinai. So the Gemara says, okay, how do we know that he's pushed off? Yaro. Right, that he'll be, Yaro means that he'll be shot through, but Rashi brings the proof for this. Where do we see the term Yaro meaning to throw off? That is from Az Yashir, where it's Yarabayam, that they were tossed around, they were thrown into the Yam. So Yarabayam means tossed in or thrown into the Yam. So over here we're using the same terminology. We know that Yaro means to push off or to be dochif. So over here it says, how do we know B'dchiyat Amalom Yaro? Uminayim Skila. How do you know that you also have Skila? How do you know that Yaro, the Dchiyah, is associated with Skila? Tamalom Sakel. So minayin shib skila ubitchia. How do you know you need both? Pushing him off and the skila. Tamadomar sakol yisakel o yaro yere. Right, so it has both of them. Shimate bitchia yatsa. If he dies by pushing, fine. Tamadomar o yaro yere. Right, so that's o yaro yere. Minayin shaf le dorot kain. How do you know that that's not just applicable to Har Sinai, which was Hashem doing it? There was a racha. How do you know it doesn't apply to the dorot? Tamalomar sakol yisakel. Sakol yisakel, the double Hashem say yisakel tells you that it goes forever. It's just interesting limud here that you have yaro means to push off, right? Then, sakol means to stone. The Gemara knows, wants to know, how do you know that you do both of them? The Tamalomar sakol yisakel or yoro yore. I guess that they're both found in the pasuk together, that they're juxtaposed in the pasuk. Sakol yisakel or yoro yore. So then, the Gemara wants to know, oh, how do I know that if he died by tchiyah that it's enough? Because it says yoro yore by itself. And it has the word O in between. O is l'chalek, to tell you that one or the other will be sufficient. Even though you need to do both, if he dies by one of them, that will be sufficient. And how do we know that it lasts forever? Because the double lashon of sakol yisakel. Even though, which is interesting in the pasuk, it says sakol yisakel first, stone him first, and then yoro yireh, which is then afterwards push him. So how come we are pushing him first and then doing Sakoi Sakel? Tosu says, because we find many other places in the Torah that the Skila is near the Mitah. That Skila is immediately preceding death. So Skila has got to be the last thing we do before he is dead. So based on that, we have Yoyorim, must be before, then Sakoi Sakel, and then Mitah. So that's what we do. Alright, now the Gemara says, Vim Lav, if he doesn't die from the fall, Eda Shini, no tell it to Evan. No tell, he takes it. Vatanya, Reb Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Evan Aitasham, there was this special stone, the executioner, you know, the execution stone. Masui Shnei ben Adam took two people to lift it. No La, Vino Dali Bo, he takes it and places it on his heart. It made Ba Yatsa, if he dies from that, fine. So it sounds over there that they had two people to pick it up. What do you mean the second aide takes it and puts it on his heart? Here it sounds like you have two people need to lift it up. So it says, according to you, why don't you ask a question on the price itself? It says, Masui Shnei Bnei Adam. It took two people to carry it. And then it says in the singular, Not Lav and Not Na Libo, that he takes it and places it on her heart. Wait, if it takes two people to lift it, how is one person putting it on the heart of this individual? Ella dimaglele bahade chavre, that they takes two people to lift it, so they raise it together. The two of them lift it together. But the one, then one individual throws it down in order that he can aim and put it with all his force down into it. If two people try to throw something together, they can never give as much force as a single individual. So you have two.
At the wedding, right. Two mothers.
Very good. That's right. Whenever they're invited to whether tonight, when they're trying to break the plate, they can never get it. Right? One person can take the plate, smash it, no problem. Two women take it, they're trying to smash it together, it doesn't work so well. That's true, they're general, that you, there's a dispersion of strength, rather than a unification of the strength, that 1 + 1 is not 2 over here, 1 + 1 is less than 2, or even less than 1 in this instance. So therefore we have two people raise the stone, but one of them brings it down with koach, and that's the answer to the question here. It's true, it would take two people to raise it, but the single aid throws it down on the individual with koach. Zvim lav, if that doesn't work, rigamato, then they stone him, then the others stone him. Vatanya, malolam lo shana ba'adam. Then we have the Brisa says that they never got past this point. In that after the Chiyah, plus the first, this huge stone that was thrown on him, nobody survived that. So, mika mina David. Our mission doesn't say that they did this. My mission just says, the mitzrach kamina. If you need to do this, you do this. Mission not demanding that the others stone him. The mission just saying, if the first two things don't put him to death, then the third one will. But if he's dead already, there's nothing to talk about. So, Amar, Evan Haita, that there was this stone here. It sounds like there was this stone here. You know how they have on the stone, they paint Shabbos on the stones, but here this is the execution stone. This is the Skila stone. This big stone had Skila written on it, and it was one they used for all the executions. Somebody says, wait a minute, Vatanya, we have a Brisa, Echad Evan Shenitzkal Ba, Echad Eich Shenitla Alav, both the stone that he is stoned with, and that tree that he's hung up on, Echad Saif Shenerag Bo, or the sword that was used to behead him, Echad Sudar Shenechnach Bo, or the handkerchief or cloth that's used to choke him, Kulan Nikberim Imo, they're buried with him. If they're buried with him, how do you have the executioner stone called the Skila stone? Every time that they used it, it was buried. So you can't keep it around. So when it says, Latricha, the Metakne, Umayti Achrine, Chalufayu. So that's it. Now that they bring in replacement stone, meaning that they had the execution stone. If they use it, they replaced it. You had to replace it and bring a similar stone to replace the executioner stone that was always there. So as soon as they used it, they brought a new one to be there for the next time. Now, the Gemara asks the question, Nikbar Mimo, are they really buried with him? We have a price that says that they did not bury these items with him. The answer to the Gemara is, Amar Papa, my Imo, what does Imo mean? Imo betfusato. That's in his the area of influence or sphere of influence around him. That we have generally, we've seen this before, that a mace is kone mekomo, and tfusato is the area surrounding the mace where the rot of the mace, as it decomposes, or the liquids that come out of the mace, they're absorbed by the ground that's around it. That's called tfusato. The afar that absorbs that of the rot of the individual, that's called tfusato. So what we do is we put it adjacent to the individual, but not necessarily right with the individual together. Amar Shmuel. Shmuel is interesting. Nakta nikta'a yad ha'idim patur. If the edim, one of the arms of the edim was severed after the Gemara Din, he's patur. My time, why? Because the bina yad ha'idim tiyo b'barishina. The edim have to perform the mitah, and the yad ha'idim, they have to physically be able to do it. If they can't physically carry out the punishment, there's nothing to talk about. They can't be there anymore. It's over. Case over. Vilekka, it's not there. That's what it says.
Does this imply that if one of the edim said that don't have the heart to throw the rock at him or to push him, then it cannot be done unless...
Right, so I'll speak about it in one second. I think it's an interesting comment what you're making. Me'ata edim gidmin dimikar. What about edim that are missing a limb right beforehand? He only said he lost his limb after they sentenced him to death. They're going to bring him out to execution, then you don't execute him because there's no yad edim. But what happens if the edim show up in court? They never had a yad. Why should they be executed in that case? There's no yad edim. How can I be pisile? So Shani Hudson says no. Damar kura yad edim shaita kvar. Mean that yad edim shitiyabo barishona is the yad edim that existed has to be ever rishona. Means only if the yad existed at the time they brought him to Mardin, then that yad has to be used to stone him. But if he never had a yad, if he never had the yad to do it, then we don't demand of him to do it in that way. That doesn't possible him as an aid just because he doesn't have an arm. Just means that he can't carry out the execution, but that, since he never had a hand, that does not posel. So it's your question. Right, it's very interesting over here, which is a very difficult thing. The edim were a part of the execution. It wasn't simply that you came to court and testified, but if the individual was found guilty, you had to put him to death. You yourself had to put him to death. And we saw earlier in the Mishnah that many times the edim wanted to back out. They say, Malila, right, Malila Davarza, what do I need this for? Why do I have to go through this? The edim, in many instances, would rather walk away. Who wants to have to put somebody to death? Who wants to have to walk away from that? So if you remember, when we were Ma'ayim the edim, when we went ahead and we tried to scare, we used the scare tactics on the edim to make sure they were telling the truth, we said two things to them. One we said is, we scared them and say, if you're not telling the truth, and if you're doing this through hearsay, or you're doing this from what you suppose or circumstantial evidence, don't testify, because that's not right. And then we told all the other things that we scared them with. But then the Chachamim say, but just know, if you are telling the truth, this is what Hashem wants from you. Ubiyata rami kibracha, but you have to go ahead with it. So despite the fact that we discourage the edim from coming, once they're going to testify and tell the truth, we encourage and we push the edim to say this is the right thing. This is the right thing to do over here. So we don't worry, or we're going to push them. We're going to push the edim to do the execution and say this is the right thing. This is what Hashem demands of you. Again, I'm not saying it's simple. It's a very difficult thing. Last night I was thinking about this. I can't. You know, you can't imagine if you had to testify against somebody and then you had to put him to death, that it's something that's not, it's not pleasant, it's not something that you would really want to be involved with, whatsoever. I mean, that's why they had, you know, special executioners whenever given. Certain people can deal with it, but, not everyday people, and these are everyday people we're gonna do. But we know, there's a lesson, just say this, that every Navi, we know, put somebody to death. Right? By Shmuel Navi, right, we're in the greatest Naviim. They have a Gog Melech Amalek that was survived from Sheol. They bring him in front of him, and Shmuel kills him on the spot. Yoshua, right, kills, right, they bring the king of the Ai right in front of him, and he kills the king of Ai right in front of him. And Moshe Rabbeinu, we know, killed. We had all of our greatest leaders, which is an amazing thing, all of our greatest leaders are in the VM, also killed other people. Here we had the stories with Shimon Shetach Yisrael, killed 80 women, put them to death. So you see that, despite the fact that they were great leaders in the VM, that killing was not something that was considered outside the realm of the leadership. That was part of their leadership, part of their qualities of leadership. Today we have a very Western mentality about this, and obviously we shun, I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but I'm just saying that we have put a big distance between leadership and killing and execution. And obviously there's a lot of positives about that. But we also have to remember that there is a demand from the Torah to viyata miram mikabecha. If you do, but it can't just be, we don't want people running around like gangs and marauders killing people, but we want viyata miram mikabecha when it comes from the right place. If everybody's doing right and you're doing the right things, then to execute others in viyata ra is okay. But if you're not doing right and then you try to be viyata ra on other people, that's obviously wrong. You gotta fix yourself first before you try to fix other people.
Still, even though it's a necessary and expected responsibility, it has a negative effect.
Right.
At least on the highest level.
Right, so there's a good question about the killing on David HaMelech. What's the problem with David's killing? He had blood on his hands, therefore he cannot build the Mikdash. So why is it? First of all, it's only in Divrei Yamim. It's not found in David. It's not found in Sefer Shmuel. It's only found in Divrei Yamim as the reason. But on top of that, for instance, today, soldiers that go to war, right, what's the story? It was that they have damim al yadayhem. What is that, you know, what implication does that have in order of a soldier? You saw a soldier, you can't go to war. So the Rishonim over there, Rav Asher Weiss once explained, he was talking about this in Lebanon, the war in Lebanon, about collateral damage. What happens when they drop a bomb and it hits innocent people? What is the effect? So the Gemara there says, by the way, that David was punished for, or the reason he couldn't build the Mikdash, because he killed civilians. where he killed people that were innocent, and that's why he couldn't do it. Had he killed in battle, and the act of battle, and the act of duty, that wasn't something that was posel him. I think it's the Radak who says it, I can't remember who says it. But it's because there were civilians that got caught up, or others that were killed along in the battle, that's what posel him from being the, from building the Mikdash. So it's not so simple to say, just because he had blood on his hands, he was precluded. It might be because of the collateral damage, and the other civilians that were killed, that that's what caused him to not, but when you act out of that leadership, the necessity of leadership, then maybe that would not posel him from building, just like Moshe built the Mishkan, even though he had killed. Right? That doesn't posel him from building the Mishkan, or putting the Mishkan together. Alright, let's continue the Gemara. Meitavet. Kol makom shiduo shnaim. Two people can show up in any basin and say, listen, we're testifying at this individual. He had a Gemar din already. He was sentenced to death in this basin. And so and so are his edim. They put him, the next basin puts him to death. Wait, but what you just said was a demand for Yad edim to Yad Berubishana. And they just came, testified in a basin that some other edim, right, came and testified him, and the other based in Paskin that he should be put to death. Now you're going to put him to death in this based in. So the original Edim that testified him are not going to be the ones who put him to death. So Tagav Shmuel, Behein Hein Edav. Shmuel says it's a case where the Edim in the first case are the ones who are testifying in the other court. They say, oh, we testified in another court, and there was a Gemara did in another court. Doesn't sound like that from the Brisa, to be honest. It says, Uploni Ploni Edav. They speak in the third person. But Shmuel says, in order to reconcile, he says that they are the Edim themselves. So Mara says, is it true that you have to take the pasuk so literally that Yad Adim Tiyeh Beru Shana? Is that so true? V'atanyu v'braisa mochumat hamakeh rotzeachu. This we put together because of rotzeach. Ein li ela b'mitak tuvabal. I would think that he can only be put to death in the death penalty that he is deserved of. B'naim shinata yechol amito b'mitak tuvabo. How do I know if you don't put him to death by the mitah demanded by Beis Din? Shato b'mito b'chol mitah shato yechol mito. The objective is to have him dead. The optimal way is to have him be put to death in the manner that is prescribed by the Torah. But if he can't get that, then we just gotta get him, he has to be dead. So we do whatever it takes to get him to be dead. No matter what, he has to be put to death. So I say, Shani Hatum, that case is unusual. Then it says mochumat, the double lashon tells us. So I says, Velig Marmine. So why don't we learn from that to other death penalties? Because you have two psukim that include every other type of mitah. And we know that in general, if the Torah wanted to teach you something, it'll write it once, and then we can extrapolate from that to others. But the Torah already reads it twice, according to some, three times according to others. Then already, if the Torah already wrote it out, that means these are the exceptions and not the rule. If you want it to be the rule, write it once. That's the rule. If you write it twice already, it tells you these are the exceptions and not the rule. So what's the exceptions here? Right. We already said that you can use any death penalty. We learned the limud before. Where does the Goladam say that you can put to death anyway? The time you have a price. Goladam yamita terotzeach. Goladam puts the rotzeach to death. Mitzvah b'gol adam. It's a mitzvah for the gol adam to handle this situation. What happens if there is no relative to come and stand up for this person? How do you have a basin appoints a gol adam to ensure this rotzeach stays in the Yer Miklat? The only thing that keeps him in the Yer Miklat is he has a fear that the gol adam will kill him. If he has no fear, he won't stay there. So if this person has no goel, how do we know that we appoint someone to do it on behalf of the individual? No matter what, we have to make sure that there's somebody there. So you see two psukim that say that if you can't get him to death that he's needed, we appoint or we do something else to get that death. That's Gol Adam and Ratzach. So from there we can't learn to others. So Amar Leimar Kshisha Breder of Chista, the Rav Ashi, Umilu Mebein and Kroy Dechtiv. And what do you mean you don't need a pasuk to be literal? But now we have a Mishnah. If one of the parents, right, is missing a limb, or is a mute, or is missing a, right, here is it would be an, gidem is an arm, chiger is a leg, osum'a is blind, or cherish, right, is deaf. Einu nase ben soror mer. In that case, it's not. Shneamar, why? It says, v'tafsu bo. That the parents have to grab him. V'lo gidmin, not those missing their arms. V'otzi oto. They have to bring him to the Beis Din, not chigrim, people missing a leg. V'amru, they have to say to them, b'neinu ze, right, soror mer, enenu shumea v'koleinu, v'lo yimlim, people who are mute. B'neinu ze, v'lo sumim. They have to say, our son, and be able to point and look at him, that's someone who's not blind. Enenu shumea b'koleinu. Right, that doesn't listen to our voice, v'lo cherishin, those that are, right, unable to hear. So Mar says, why do we demand all these things that the parents have all these requirements? Is it because we're reading the Pasuk literally and saying that they need to have all of these items? Mar says, lo, shiny hotam over there by Ben Sermer, it's different. The kule krayeteruhu. The whole Pasuk is extraneous. The fact that it goes through all this detail or all these verbiage, all these verbs, right, that are the tafsuoto, votsuoto, all these verbs, you could just say, take him and put him to death. Why do you have all these verbs? That's all extraneous to teach you that they have to have these particular, they have to have all these things, not have these mumim in order to bring him to be put to death as a ben sarer mer. Tashma, what about in yirei dachet? Ein la rechov, if the yirei dachet doesn't have a road through it, ein asit yirei dachet, dibra bishmo. That can't be made into yirei dachet. Rabbi Kiva mer, ein la rechov, it doesn't have a road. Osim la rechov, you plow after the fact, you put a road in there. So I can't open the demar sever rechova demikara beinan. But the only thing they argue about is whether you need the road to be there before it becomes an yirei dachet. Marsever rechova dashto nami kidemikara dami. If you have a road now, that's good enough. That's maklum sin rishon. But everybody agrees about kuliyam beinan krakid yichtiv. Everybody agrees you need a rechov, you need a road there. So we're taking the pasuk literally. But see it right. You take them all out and told the shlal el rechova here. So you have to take all this stuff out to the city street. There's no street, you make a street. So everybody's taking it literally that you need a street. So when I says Tanahi, that happens to be a machokus Tanaim, whether we read the psukim literally or not. Why? By a tarat ha-mitzora. That's not ein lo bohein yad, if he doesn't have a thumb. Right? Ve'ein lo bohein regel, if he doesn't have a big toe. If he doesn't have an ozen yamanit, the right ear. Ein lo tara olamit, he can't be made tahor, because he's missing the parts where he can have the blood put on. Now again, we're assuming here that he had them when he became a mitzvah, and he lost them after being a mitzvah. Because we saw above, even Shmuel agrees that if the Edim come and they never had an arm, that doesn't pasul them as Edim. It's only if they came with arms and then they lost them that they're pasul. So it's over here, we're talking about a case where it must be that they originally had them and then they lost them. So Rabbi Lezer Omer, no tein al-makom over yotze. You place it in the place that would have been the thumb, or would have been the big toe, or would have been the ear. Rabbi Shimon Omer, no tein al-small over yotze. Put on the left, on his left side, and it'd be fine. His left ear, his left thumb, or his left toe. Those will also be sufficient. So you have a machlokas in the brisa here, whether we take it literally, that you have to put on his ear, his toe, and his thumb, or do you mean figuratively? It's got to be in the place generally where it is, but we don't take it very literally. So that machlokas that we just discussed above, whether you take sukkim literally or not, is a machlokas tanaim in this brisa. In this Mishnah, I'm sorry. Right, now, next Mishnah. Kol niskalim nitlin. Anybody who is put stoned is hung. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Chameim eno nitnayla megadeif uvedo vazerat. Those that are hung after they're stoned is limited to two cases. Megadeif, someone who is mekalel, chas v'shalom at Hashem, and uvedo vazerat, someone who worships vazerat. Ha'ish tolin otol b'fanav kalfei ha'am. A man, they hang him facing the people. Right, v'isha panel kalfei ha'itz. The woman, they hang facing in and not outward, again, for the same problem as a bizayon. For the women, divrei Rabbi Eliezer. V'chamimim, ha'ish netleh, v'nisha netleit. A man is hung up, a woman is never hung up. So Amar lehem, Rabbi Eliezer, v'alo shimim ben shetach, talad nashim ba'ashklon. The case where he put to death the 80 sorceresses, and then he hung them up on she hung them in Ashkelon. So Amar lo, shmonim nashim talah. He executed 80 women. That's no regular case. That's a horat shah. That's an unusual case. And we know you're not allowed to execute two people on the same day. And he executed 80 women in one shot. The fact that he did, it must have been a horat shah. So the fact that he hung them was also a horat shah. Don't learn anything from that case by Shimon Shetach. You can't prove anything from there. Turn around. V'umat v'talita. That is put to death. And then v'talita, you hang him up. Yachol kol mutanim nitlim. So it sounds like anybody's put to death, then is hung up. Tamulomar ki kilat elukim talui. It's really the pashup shot in the pasukah is that Hashem is disgusted by people who are hung out. That we don't want to leave the bodies hung out because it's a bizoy of the kaboda mace and then a bizoy of kvod Hashem. So ma'am kalel, but the Torah here, the chamim are darshaning kilat elukim from the word kalel from megadeif. But only the one who curses, right, is hung up. Ma mekalel zeh shebeskila, af kol shebeskila. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Just like a mekalel, his punishment is skila, and he's hung. So that'll be a binyanav for everywhere else, that anybody who's stoned should be hung. That's Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. Ma mekalel zeh shekafar biikar. This is mekalel who, basically, right, not denied a kodesh baruch hu. So too, af kol kofar biikar. Also, kofar bikar. What's the only other case of kofar bikar that is put to death, stoned to death? That is avodah zara. So therefore, avodah zara and mikalel are the two that you hang up. So, my kamiflege, what's the machlokus between them? Rabbanan darshe klalei oprate, Rabbi Lezer darshe rubei mute. Rabbanan Doresh in a manner of Klal Uprat, and the Rabbi Eliezer Doresh Rubei Mute. We saw this, okay, we've seen this a number of times, we saw in the Gemara in the Darim, we saw this in the Gemara in Bava Kamma, that there's a difference between Bavel and Eretz Yisrael, and the Midot Torah Nedreshet Behem. We say Rabbi Shmuel every morning, which is the Midot of Bavel, and over there we say that Klal Uprat, which is just going to turn out to be a Klal, you have a general principle and then a Prat, and then a detailed description of what we're talking about. Then Ein Baklal Elamashir Baprat. That means that the prat is a limiting factor. You have a klal and then a prat that teaches you that the klal is limited to what's written afterwards in the prat. Right? Then Rabbi Lazar Darshi Rubei Amute, which is a more expansive form, and I'll explain that in a second. Rabbanan Darshi Klali Prat Evi Humat Vitalita. It says, Humat Vitalita Klal. That's the general principle. Ki Kilat Elukim, that is the prat. So now, Iavi Mikarbi Meladodi, if they were written juxtaposed, they were right next to each other in the Pasuk, Amrin Ene Baklal Meshav Prat. Then you would say, only what's in the klal? What's in the prat? What's the prat here? Klat Elokim Megadev. That's the only one who gets hung up. Hani in Midachinino. So therefore we'd say this, yes, and nothing else. Hashidim Echakim Adodi. The Psukim are not adjacent to each other. They're actually separated. They're split apart. So the klal is in one place and the prat is in another place. Then, Ahani Liribui Avodat Kochavim Dedomile Bechol Mile. It's enough to include, right, Avodah Zarah, which is identical to Megadev. Identical by Gadeif, that it has stoning, and it's literally kofar biikar, and that's why they wouldn't, I would think that they're not including Shabbos, it has to be literally the same. So that's enough, it gives you a little extra bonus here. On the other hand, right, Rabbi Lezer, Darish Ribuye Mute. Lezer is Darish Ribuye Mute, right? Behumat, Vitalita Ribuye. Kilat Miut, that's a Miut. Iabi Mikar Vila Dodi, if they were juxtaposed, adjacent in the Psukim, going a Miut, and the Russian over there is the equivalent to a Klal Upratu Klal. A Riboy Miut is more like a Klal Uprat Klal, and a Dan Alishama Beprat. So if it was literally a Riboy Miut, you would do it Ke'ena Prat. So Ke'ena Prat would be anything that is similar to, right, the case of Migadeh. But because they're split apart, we say not only do we include just what's Dome Le Prat, but we include even more than Dome Le Prat. So we are more expansive in our inclusion. What's more expansive in our inclusion? And that's what he said over here. Because that's Ke'ena Prat. Things that are somewhat similar to it, because then it's a more expansive form of the Klal Prat Uklal, and that more expansive form includes anybody who is Niskal, therefore will be put to, will be also hung after afterwards. Okay, we'll stop over here.